information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, May 18th. Nice to have you here. Aaron Zommers is here. Kristen Lyerly will be back at the bottom of the hour for Hometown Health. Because in this week's Hometown Health, we're going to learn how gerrymandering is bad for your health. She and Carlene Beshin will discuss the impact that happens when a community wants an improved healthcare system, but it's blocked by politicians who hold power despite not having majority support because they've rigged the political maps. And that way they're able to allow for-profit corporations to control the kinds of care that people get and don't get, and at a price that drives many to bankruptcy, which has its own health impacts. So Carlene and Kristen will join us in about 25 minutes or so to discuss that. Luke Mathers will be along at about 7:50, and we will go through the Civic Media Radio Empire, what's new with Civic Media's growth, stations, shows, things you can hear this weekend and in the evenings. And that includes Up North News Radio. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. You can find the work that we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. But we appreciate them giving us 6 to 8 every weekday morning to talk to you about current events, which you'll find on our website, which you'll find on our social media, and then all the other headlines and notes that we share all across the Civic Media group of radio shows. You'll find us on social media if you look for Up North News WI. And a reminder that this show and all the Civic Media shows are also podcasts. If you go to wherever you get your favorite podcast and look for Up North News or any of the other shows, you can subscribe to it. Each hour is its own separate episode, and we'd love to have you take us along wherever you go. If you hear something today you'd like to comment on, 844-967-2789 is the number. Now, we had a little bit of a conversation in our last hour about George Santos, the fraud of a congressman, the resolution to expel him, and how instead of being expelled, the matter was sent to a committee, which essentially meant that Tom Tiffany and Derek Van Orden and all the other Wisconsin Republicans had a chance to do the honorable thing and rid themselves of a grifter in their midst, and they decided to defend him instead. And that's something that, you know, the congressman can be asked all about the next time that they are in their district. Aaron Zommers is in our Madison studio monitoring things for us, and how do I put this? I have bad news that I have to tell to the person I'm related to by marriage. Remember me talking about how a few months back it took forever just to change a simple fill valve on a toilet?
Yes.
And then I told you, well, now on a different toilet, the flush valve had broken, and I thought it was just a matter of replacing one part and it would be easy peasy. It came yesterday. A big brown truck brought it. And I hold in my hand the future flush valve.
That does not look the same.
No. Well, here's the thing. It wasn't that a part needs to be replaced. Once I compared it to the old one, a part had snapped off. And that means you have to replace the whole thing, which again necessitates taking the tank off the toilet, which means I got to go to my neighbor and get that wrench that looks like you'd open up a fire hydrant with it.
Yep.
And then, you know, my wife and I are going to have to lift the tank off, change out the gasket, put all that on, which is not to say it's impossible, but I was really kind of hoping to avoid that ordeal again.
It's not impossible, but it sure is annoying.
It's really annoying. And I have to tell somebody that after she gets home after working all night. So we'll see how that conversation goes. Where are you on Wienermobiles, Aaron?
I've seen it around Madison. And I've wondered, are the Wienermobiles still owned by Oscar Mayer, or is it just people buying Wienermobiles and driving them around? Because I would love to own one.
Yeah. Well, no, they're still there. And now they're back in the news, and I just want to be the first one to, you know, call BS on the story. And I know that, you know, there's Wisconsin ties to Oscar Mayer, and, you know, people defend them all the time, but I have seen this before. News stations all over the country, radio stations all over the country today are talking about the controversy that the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile got a new name yesterday. It's now going to be called the Frankmobile because of their all beef Franks that Oscar Mayer sells.
I'm still going to call it the Wienermobile.
Everybody's going to call it the Wienermobile. And how many times have we seen this play out? I'm sorry. I don't mean to lift the curtain off of some poor PR person, but you know, in 6 weeks or 6 months, they're going to get another kick at the PR can by saying, oh, due to, you know, public demand, everybody loved Wiener. We're bringing the old name back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we know. We know that we've seen this. We've seen this before. But anytime you get a chance, if you're working in TV news and you get a chance to put the Wienermobile on, you know, you're going to do it. And now people are going to do it. They did it for this story yesterday, and they're going to do it, you know, whenever the name changes back. And yes, the name is going to change back. Somebody want to bet me, call me up, because I'll take that bet.
Unfortunately, this is a PR stunt that is basically guaranteed to work.
Oh, of course it worked. I'm reading it right now, even with cynicism in my voice, because I love the fact that in changing it to the Frankmobile, they're putting new decals on the side saying, please do not lick, because think that the all beef Franks taste so good. I was never in danger of licking the Wienermobile or the Frankmobile, but thanks for the advisory, and you're welcome for one more shot of free publicity. We will take a break and have headlines after this. You're up north. All right, Dick is calling in with a story about the Wienermobile. No, Frankmobile. No, whatever it is. Stand by, Dick. We'll get to you in just a bit. First off, the Brewers lost 2 of 3 to the St. Louis Cardinals, losing last night 3-0. They were shut out. The bats were quiet once again. They are on the road today. They will start 3 games in Tampa Bay against the Rays this weekend. Then they will be home to take on Houston and then San Francisco. And we will have tickets to next Tuesday's game, Brewers and Astros. We're going to give away a pair of tickets tomorrow morning at 6:50, and then again Monday morning at 6:50, both of them for Tuesday night's game. So keep that in mind. All right, things could get bumpy in western Wisconsin later today, and Friday may not be the best weather day of the weekend, but I've got a good feeling about most of the rest of the weekend. Though we did start today downright cold in some places, getting close to freezing, Jennifer Vachitsky is here from Weatherology with the full Wisconsin State forecast to get our Thursday morning going. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, and yeah, like you said, it's kind of a chilly start across the board here early this morning. However, it does look like it'll be either at or above average with afternoon highs across the state today. Wausau down to the southern parts of the state getting into the mid to low 70s, mid-60s around Lake Michigan, and upper 60s in west-central Wisconsin. Sunny skies in the southern and eastern parts of the state today, but then cloudy around Richland Center and north of there. Chances for showers and storms today around Amory and Baldwin into Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, and continuing into tonight. Otherwise, it looks like showers and storms coming in for everyone else tonight into tomorrow, though looking to be more of a dry day in west central Wisconsin tomorrow. For today and tonight, though, there is a marginal risk for severe weather spanning from Richland Center up to Wausau and even up to the UP border. There is a risk for large hail and damaging winds, and we cannot rule out a tornado potential as well. So, of course, it'll be something we keep you updated on throughout the day and evening hours. Friday, cooler for everyone. As you mentioned, a little bit of a different day tomorrow as a cold front comes in. Again, rain shower potential from Wausau down to the south. Otherwise, cloudy skies for everyone else. But looking into the weekend, warmer overall as a warm front pushes through, back up to at or above average for everyone. Upper 60s to low 70s for Saturday, and then mid to low 70s across the board on Sunday. And it does look like a dry weekend with lots of sunshine to enjoy.
All right. That sounds really nice for the weekend. Jennifer, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
We'll get that forecast from Weatherology every morning at this time with Jennifer Vachitsky. Dick is on the line. We were talking about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and changing its name to the Frankmobile. Dick says he's got a story. Although, Dick, I got to tell you, just looking at the screen where Aaron put up your name and what you're about, He kept going back and forth between Wienermobile. Frank, you were having problems spelling Wiener. I mean, Aaron, this segment has already gone off the rails for you.
Yeah, normally I am very good at spelling and always have been, and I can spell the word Wiener on its own, but when you add mobile to it, I lose all confidence.
So Dick, with that esteemed introduction, good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's back in the 90s. I had a carpet and furniture cleaning business for about 10, 11 years. And my wife used to do all the booking. That was about this time of the year when, you know, prom and things like that are going on. So we got a call to clean a conversion van. They didn't say what it was, a large conversion van. I said, oh, my God, I don't want to see the thing. Can you imagine if it was something that was used during prom? So yes. She had already booked it. It showed up at our shop. The Wienermobile pulled up. I got pictures of my daughter when she was really little sitting in the driver's seat of the Wienermobile.
It's own unique, legendary piece of driving equipment. You didn't get to drive around in it, though.
No, the people that brought it, actually, every year, these are college students, and they buy pretty heavily for traveling in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty surprised to hear about the whole, you know, rigmarole they had to go through to get the job. It was kind of sought after at the time. I don't know whether it still is, but...
When you're driving around somebody's, you know, basically their corporate identity, I suppose they want to make sure you're not going to be using it for pranks or whatnot. But I appreciate the story, Dick. Thanks so much for calling in this morning. We have, looking at the headlines from yesterday, we couldn't help but notice that the constantly missing in action Paul Ryan is back in the news. You remember Paul Ryan, the former Wisconsin congressman who was thought to be a bit of a budget wonk, who got to be Speaker of the House for a short time, but was one of many casualties of the, you know, Donald Trump tsunami, but somebody who was constantly talking about the need to have reform in the budget, which in his mind and others meant things like maybe raising the retirement age to 70. Keep in mind that Paul Ryan, I think he retired from public service at 48, and has a full government pension. So it's another one of those do as I say, not as I do. Anyway, he was back at the U.S. Capitol yesterday to have his official portrait unveiled, which will be in the Speaker's lobby of the Capitol. And that, of course, is something that's due him. And all kinds of past speakers were there. You know, Nancy Pelosi was there. Newt Gingrich was there. I don't believe Denny Hastert was, because it turned out he was a pedophile and was spending time in prison, might even still be there. But Paul Ryan was there, and he talked about how among his proudest legislative achievements included the 2017 tax cuts early on in the Trump administration, and that he consistently continues to warn against debt and deficits. Without any sense of self-awareness whatsoever, it seems, because look at where we are today. We are facing a debt ceiling crisis, in part because of the hole that was blown in the budget by the 2017 tax cuts, primarily for the very wealthy. When Paul Ryan did that, he passed a budget that at the time created the biggest deficits we'd ever seen in this country, and did it without a recession and without a war. You know, it's one thing to have World War II going on or some kind of other market crash, but this was a creation of Paul Ryan, Donald Trump, and Republicans alone, was this $2 trillion hole they blew in the budget, saying that it would pay for itself. Here's the narrator. It did not pay for itself. It's only made things worse, and now the acolytes of Paul Ryan continue to say, well, we need to do things like either raise the retirement age or cut benefits or make people work for benefits. And so while Paul Ryan gets his day in the sun for having his portrait unveiled in the Capitol, let's remember what that legacy really is. It is a legacy of debts and deficits and proposed solutions to it that quite often would make things worse, not better. And that is seen still today in the push in this debt ceiling debate for Medicaid work requirements. When courts have first off repeatedly held up that work requirements are inconsistent with the purpose of Medicaid. The purpose of Medicaid is not a welfare check, as Robin Voss or Paul Ryan or other Republicans would tell you. Medicaid is medical assistance. Under work requirements for medical assistance, many who receive Medicaid would have to, under some proposals, work or perform community engagement activities for at least 80 hours a month to maintain their coverage. Other ideas would expand work requirements to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, earlier known as food stamps. And I'm trying to think of, you know, my mom as a mother of four little kids, one who was sick all of his life before he died at the age of nine. And I'm trying to envision that along with my standing in line for her, you know, at an office to get her booklet of food stamps, that now she's supposed to work as well, because that's what people want to see in order to get these benefits. Or raise the age of exemption from work requirements from 50 to 56. Because again, the only way to solve the labor shortage, some say, is to make people not retire, rather than looking at things that would add people to the workforce, like legal immigration. Now, multiple states have already determined that work requirements for SNAP have led to no evidence of increased employment or community engagement activities. And even if they were more effective, studies have shown that work requirements would not produce significant employment gains, because most people on these benefits who are non-disabled working age are already employed. They're already working, many people on Medicaid. About 60% of non-elderly, non-disabled adults with Medicaid are currently working either full or part-time. Another 30% can't work because of either caregiving responsibilities or illness or disability or school attendance. These are not people just sitting on the couch for no reason, like Tim Michaels wanted to have you believe. Or who was it most recently that told the story about how they got into politics after hearing a story about, you know, somebody's dad just stays on the couch and collects a check from the government all day, clearly without any understanding of, you know, what a disability is and what it is that leads people to not be able to work. Are there people who cheat the system? Of course there are. Always have been, always will be. But because the number of cheats isn't zero, isn't reason to slash something that benefits so many other people who play by the rules. But instead, we get a focus from the Paul Ryan acolytes that say, what we need to do is make other people work harder for what little bit they get. And at the same time, let's take those 2017 tax cuts that are actually supposed to run out in a couple of years, and let's extend them. Because that's the same thing happened during the Bush administration, where there were tax cuts pushed through. They said it was going to be temporary, but then a later Congress extended them. And now that's what Republicans are calling for as part of any debt ceiling deal right now, is to extend these tax cuts primarily for the rich. And what it would do is add $3.5 trillion more to the deficit. So after forcing major cuts to veterans benefits, nutrition assistance for seniors and kids, affordable housing, they still want to cut taxes for the wealthy and the well-connected. A quote here from Bobby Kogan, who is a senior director of federal budget policy at the Center for American Progress. If not for the Bush tax cuts and their extensions, as well as the Trump tax cuts, government revenue would be on track to keep pace with spending indefinitely, and our debt ratio would be declining. Instead, it's these tax cuts that have added $10 trillion to the debt since their enactment, and they are responsible for 57% of the increase in the debt ratio since 2001. If you want to solve the current problems with debt in the federal budget, or with deficits, I should say, in the federal budget, just roll back those tax cuts to where they were, how people were living their lives just fine before they came along, and we would be in a much better place from a fiscal health situation. And we could set aside the legacy that Paul Ryan thinks he has when it's really just making us awash in the red ink he said that he was so much against. Hometown Health is coming up next. You're up north.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
This is David Ricci with a song called The Gerrymander. Aaron was apparently able to find this off of Bandcamp.
Aaron, well, good there work are a here. Lot of songs out there about gerrymandering.
Actually, you found this one, Pat.
Well, but you could play it through your computer over there. Oh, I wasn't sure if you could play things off of there. Okay. Well, that opens up a whole new world for us if we can get into Bandcamp. Boy, oh boy, you don't have to listen to my tired old man music. We're going to get all kinds of new stuff.
And so many jokes.
Just why do you say that?
Directly off of Bandcamp.
Oh, that. No. I know what you're saying. You stop that. Dr. Kristen Lyerly returns in her professional capacity to talk about Hometown Health. And this time around, the unhealthiness of having rigged political maps when you're talking about, you know, what a community wants and what a community gets stuck with. And we have a very esteemed guest that Kristen's going to introduce.
Well, we like to look at health from lots of different perspectives on Hometown Health. And one of the things that people tend to not consider is the effect of gerrymandering on our health. And truly, gerrymandering affects everything. But the impacts on our health are really just, they're ginormous. So we're here today with Carlene Beshin. Carlene is the queen of fair maps here in Wisconsin. She's the recently retired organizing director with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. Carlene, we're thrilled to be here with you this morning.
Well, thanks so much, Kristen and Pat. It's nice to see both of you. Yeah. I feel like I should be wearing a crown or something. You know? I have my banana peel over here I can put on.
I can't believe they let you retire without giving you a tiara.
Yeah, I asked for one, but you know, then everybody else would need one too. So
No. Only those who are deserving.
You know, that points out, though, this is a group effort. I mean, you are an incredible organizer and you've been doing this for decades, but really, this is something that everyone in Wisconsin gets. I mean, the data that you came up with as you were doing your work with the Fair Maps Coalition showed how many people in Wisconsin want fair maps? What was the percentage?
Well, 72%, according to the very highly esteemed Marquette Law School poll. So that's something to just like, what? That many people across that many political viewpoints want fair maps, want a nonpartisan process, and we're not getting it. That's a real problem.
Absolutely. And we've all over the past couple of years been living and breathing gerrymandering as we've been working for fair maps here in Wisconsin. But for people who aren't familiar or might need a little bit of a refresher, why do fair maps matter to us as individuals?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, Kristen, because there are people who live in really red parts of the state, so that no matter who they vote for, a Republican candidate is going to be elected. And there are those who live in really blue parts of the state where the reverse is true. But there are a lot of people in Wisconsin, I would say the majority of people in Wisconsin, who live in areas that really could elect either candidate if maps were drawn fairly and not carved up so one party or the other has an advantage. So what happens when maps are gerrymandering, and when we say maps, we mean voting district maps, the lines are drawn in such a way that politicians, because we have all this demographic data about who people are and where they live, right down to their house number, they can draw maps that create voting districts that will keep them in power. In other words, no matter how people vote, they know the candidate, which party will win. And so back in 2011, when Republicans held the trifecta, the governor and then both houses of the state legislature, they worked with a group called Operation Red Map, using very sophisticated software to create maps that would give them a dominant majority in our state legislature. And that has held true over time. And then in 2020, we had a new census. 2021, new maps were drawn. And the short version of the long story is that we ended up with much more gerrymandered maps because our Supreme Court, our state Supreme Court, chose to use a least changes approach to those 2011 super gerrymandered maps. So fast forward to 2021, and we have even more extremely gerrymandered maps. So that one party, in this case, the Republican Party, it's not, this is not a Republican versus Democratic issue, because in other, well, maybe it is. In other states, Democrats have done the same thing. So what we're asking for is a nonpartisan process that takes the politicians who want to stay in power out of the map drawing business and puts people who are going to look at it from a nonpartisan perspective in charge.
And like you said earlier, we know that Wisconsinites agree with this approach. They don't want politicians drawing their own maps, because gerrymandering literally affects everything that we do, everything, every piece of our lives. But for the purpose of our discussion today, let's look at it through the lens of health and healthcare. So some of the big picture issues that are affected by gerrymandering include universal healthcare, insurance reform, things in the budget like CMS programs, hospitals funding clinics and other programs distributing resources associated with healthcare. And here in Wisconsin, failure to expand Medicaid, which contributes to so many different things like rural outcomes and maternal outcomes. Yeah, I mean, quite literally, this is one of those, it seems like a talking point at this point, because we talk about Medicaid expansion so much, we've kind of lost really what it means, but this has become a very political issue, and the heart of it is in gerrymandering.
Absolutely. So those gerrymandered maps that lead to one party being in charge of the legislation that gets passed means that only the legislation that they want to have passed gets passed. So it doesn't really matter what constituents want. So constituents may, in fact, want to have, as you said, they want to have Medicaid expansion. They want to have reproductive rights. Lots and lots of different health issues that folks want, but because they are not the people who make the decisions, the legislators don't have to listen to them. They don't have to respond to that. And so we see that Medicaid expansion is one of those issues that again and again and again, even when it, I think we're one of 10 states, isn't it now? One of 10 states that has not accepted the money for Medicaid expansion,
which
seems like a no-brainer. I mean, you were talking about it earlier, Pat. This is assistance. It's not like let people sit on the couch and do nothing. This is people who are working, who need the additional support that Medicaid offers, and our legislators are not willing to pass it. The governor has said he would sign it into law.
And to take it a step further now, we've seen in the bill that was passed last night by Republicans in the Assembly about how to reform shared revenue. And again, this should just be a fiscal bill that says how much more state aid should go to local governments at a time with a record surplus. It should just be a dollars and cents thing. But Republicans are putting all of these strings onto this new money, including striking down the ability of local units of government to hold advisory referendums. And so, Carlene, you know firsthand what the voice of the people has done through advisory referendums on fair maps, right?
Absolutely. We have been successful in passing resolutions at the county board level, which are not impacted by this limitation, but also 32 counties in our state have passed a referendum at the county level by voters. And those have been predominantly in counties that Trump carried in 2020. So you can see that when these referendums are passing by 60, 70, 80% in red counties, that this is not a Democrat versus Republican issue. This is a we want fair representation constituent issue. And it's disappointing, disheartening, angering. I mean, I could go on and on. My head exploded when I heard that, because it's also an educational tool that we can use to help folks understand what it is that's happening. And when they understand what's happening, they're ticked. They are like, are you kidding? They do that? It's like, yeah, they would. They are. They have. And they will continue unless we, the people, stop them.
To underline a point that you said, Wisconsinites want fair representation, and that is critical. And the Fair Maps Coalition, without you now because you've retired, and in the time of positive momentum, it seems like things are moving in the right direction with Janet Protasiewicz now on the Supreme Court. We're hearing people step up and use their voices to say, this is what we want. What's next for the Fair Maps Coalition? We all want some hope, Carlene. Give us some hope.
So there are very capable people who have moved into the position that I had. So the work will continue at the grassroots organizing level. That will not stop. And as you said, Judge Protasiewicz was just elected. She will be sworn in August 1st, and Law Forward, a progressive nonprofit law firm, has already said that they plan to bring the litigation about the maps to the Supreme Court. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't say exactly how that will go, but I'm fairly certain that they're going to try to use state constitutional grounds to invalidate these maps as unconstitutional and then get them thrown out. So I live in a place of hope and chronic optimism. So my hope, best case scenario, they bring the lawsuit in August after she's seated, and they throw the maps out right away. Now, I'm sure that that's not what will happen, but you know, it'll take some time to throw the maps out, and then new maps will need to be created in time for the April 15th nomination papers, so that people who want to run for office know where their districts are. Now, the reason why I'm hopeful about that is exactly the timeline that happened in 2021. We got the census numbers on August 15th of 2021, and the maps were submitted to, that's a really long story, condensed. The maps were submitted and passed by the state legislature along party lines. The governor vetoed them. They went to the Supreme Court, our state Supreme Court, then they went to the U.S. Supreme Court, then they came back to the state Supreme Court, and we still had maps in time for that April 15th deadline. Now, I'm hoping that it won't have all that back and forth and up and down and sideways, but, you know.
I continue to have faith that it will. And I think that Law Forward is going to be ready to pounce not a moment before Justice-elect Protasiewicz takes to the bench, and that this court, with her on it, this court will actually do something that the right-wing court currently wouldn't do, and that was to draw a map. Courts have drawn maps for generations, and I still have faith there that that's what's going to happen here, is that the new progressive majority will take a look at all the data, all the submissions, and write what is truly a fair map. I know I would describe you as having cautious optimism at best, but still, that's better than nothing.
Right. And you know, the other thing about that map, what you just said about maps, Pat, is that there's all kinds of software now that's very accessible to just regular folks for drawing maps. And so you don't have to be an expert anymore to be able to create maps. So I would wager, and I am not a betting person, but I would wager that there are lots of maps hanging around out there that justices could consider.
Oh, no, no.
That are ready to go.
No doubt about that whatsoever. Kristen, thank you for bringing Carlene on. This is a great angle about literally the health of a community relies on having fair representation.
Absolutely does. And nobody knows it better than Carlene.
Sure does. And Carlene, thank you so much. We really appreciate
you
coming on. Safe travels to you. And yeah, you may be retired, but guess what? You're still a pro. So we're bringing you back. So I hope you don't mind.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
All right. Luke Weathers joins us next to talk about the Civic Media Radio Empire and much more before we wrap up this Thursday morning over at Up North News Radio, where you can find what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll be back in just a bit. You're up north.
Is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
All right, we're back on the radio. I want no more band camp talk out of you kids.
We all went to band camp.
No, some of us did not. Aaron, what's our walk-in music for Mr. Mathers today?
This is March of the Resistance by John Williams from
The Force. You would have known that if you went to band camp, Mr. Krylo. Come on, John Williams, one of the best movie score composers of all time.
I don't feel like I've really missed out because I can ask Aaron, what song is this? And suddenly I got a week of my life back that I didn't have to spend at band camp.
Played it where you like you hear the song and you can actually like feel it in your heart.
You can feel it in your lips the way you're blowing on whatever woodwind. Is that the right term? Are there woodwind
there
instruments?
There are woodwinds. Yes.
There are.
All right, scored that much. All right, music nerds, let's move on to radio. Luke Mathers, host of Dueling Tangents, weekday afternoons on the Civic Media Radio Network, is also the chief. I was going to say, you're not the chief cook and bottle washer, more like chief babysitter for a lot of what we have to do here. And we appreciate that. But now you have to talk about what else is out there in civic media land. Are we adding shows? Are we adding stations? Are we promoting anything besides the Brewers tickets that I've already mentioned a couple of times that we're giving away Friday and Monday, and that you can hear the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support and News from the Center. Now, having taken away your first item of business, what do you got next?
Yeah, we've got a very exciting June coming up. So there's some big announcements coming in the coming weeks that you're going to want to stay tuned to Civic Media for.
Guys, look at the video, how he rubs his hands together and he's talking about this like an evil villain, like the things we're doing in Civic Media.
You got to grow out your mustache so you can twirl it.
Twirl it? No, that would not work well. I would not prefer that. But yeah, it's going to be a very exciting June. Along with that, that announcement that is coming, we do have excellent coverage of the Milwaukee Brewers, as you mentioned, on both Oshkosh Air Support and WRCE News from the Center in Richland.
I just
Center.
Said that.
But I can't say it enough, Pat, because we're so excited. The crew had a little bit of a tough going yesterday, got shut out by the St. Louis Cardinals, but hoping that they can take a little rest day, and they're going to be I forget where the series is this weekend before they come home. They're going down to Tampa. There we go. Thank you, Mr. Krylo.
Again, something I'd mentioned earlier on the show. Did you bring any news for us?
Yeah.
Is there anything new happening? Or
the Kripes cast with Charlie Burns.
Hey, there we go. Okay.
Comedian Nate Bergatz on this weekend. Oh. And so you've probably seen some of his humor. He's pretty viral comedian of late. He's got some excellent deadpan delivery, Pat. So really right up your alley if you're not familiar with Nate Bergatz.
I'm sure I don't
and
know
he's
what
also,
you're talking about.
He's also going to give you a little crash course in stand-up comedy. If you find yourself funny, do you think you might want to give it a shot? You can give this a listen.
There you go. Pat, I think you should absolutely give it a listen then, Pat.
There's nobody that thinks that. I should try anything like that. I would rather go to band camp than try to be a stand-up comic.
Come on, you're telling me that you're not going to be Eau Claire or Chippewa Falls' next funniest comic?
Look,
next
there,
George
Carlin. I would walk up to a microphone in front of 100,000 people in a stadium and deliver off the cuff remarks and throw in a little witty observation here and there. But if you told me I had to walk up to that same microphone and do nothing but tell jokes and try to make people laugh, I mean, I wouldn't be able to get there because I would have wet my pants so hard they'd weigh too much for me to walk to the microphone.
See, you need to go to band camp so you can have the confidence that you need to be able to go and take on that stage and tell those jokes and make the crowd of hundreds of thousands of people laugh.
Make this band camp sound so magical.
It's terrific.
And yet it is terrific. Isn't it darn near impossible though to, once you get to be more in your adult years, to actually learn an instrument compared to when you're a kid and your brain is more like jello and it can take in all that information. Does anybody learn to play an instrument, you know, later in life? Well,
yes, it's more difficult, but
that's classically the piano thing. Like people retire and then they learn to play piano.
Hmm.
I was say I don't know the demographics on age for learning instruments. I don't know those studies, so I wouldn't be able to contribute. Sorry.
I think part of it too. Well, part of it too. What would make us tough is that older adults, we have no patience for this kind of thing. You can make an 8-year-old sit there at the piano and hit the same things over and over again, play it again, and we're gonna say, no, I want a beer. So you get up and you leave the piano and you do what you want to do. But
that's why you know what they say. Best time to plant a tree is 50 years ago. The second best time is today. And same goes for learning an instrument. And you have to make it fun. You can't just do exercises and be like, oh, hooray, I am playing a scale on the guitar or whatever. You have to find music that you like and work up to playing that.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
That's excellent advice.
I'm changing your title right now from producer. No, Zen Master. Did you
voice
hear?
Of I wisdom.
Mean, he was. I mean, there it is. Aaron Zen Master.
Yeah.
I mean, such a calming influence in teaching us new things.
See, I don't treat the drums as a calming effect, though. It's a stress reliever. Even as an adult, you got stress relief, and you can go and just wail on a set of drums and cymbals, and you put some music in, as Aaron mentioned, mm-hmm. That you like, and you try to play along as best you can. And in the privacy of my basement, nobody can tell that I'm not that great, but it's all good for me because it's stress relief.
There's no privacy of your basement when you play drums. The whole neighborhood is aware of your privacy. We should probably get back to the topic at hand, which is, again, civic media. I was trying to think of things that we haven't talked about on the show. We talk about the Cripes cast, and Kristen, you're going to be on with Kristen Bryan, as goes Wisconsin, later this morning. You've mentioned Under the Helmet with Gilbert Brown. Have we ever talked about Morning Cannolis?
Jim Santella is terrific, and you should tune in on Saturdays from 9 to 11. So it's right before the Extra Sharp Cheddar weekend, the lineup that we've got from 11 to 2. But Mr. Santel,
he's a former U.S. attorney, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so he is always one with the hospitality. He brings his cannolis with, and so he decided to name his Saturday morning program Morning Cannolis with James Santel. And so it's a terrific 2-hour program that he breaks down the legal news of the week. I highly recommend, if you've got questions about some of the more complex legal questions that are going on and happenings right now. Specifically, I know that he's covered things like the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals covering the mifepristone decision, and that was argued earlier this week. So I have a feeling that will get talked about again.
Okay.
But James Santel does a terrific job breaking down the legalese of the headlines and explaining it.
And raised in Wisco, does that involve some hunting and fishing talk from Bill Kleefish? So I'm thinking, can we have him as the lead-in to Jim Santel's, and then we change his title instead of Raised in Wisco, is Take the Gun, and then Leave the Cannoli? Jim,
that would work, but nobody? It's flip it. It's Take the Cannoli, and then you got to tune in for the hunting hour. So that is definitely...
You're a rough Godfather crowd, I'm telling you. But I appreciate your efforts, though. Thank you guys very much. Have a wonderful day. Coming up tomorrow, Kia Vakil will join us along with Dan Schumacher and Mark Jacob, and I'll try to get this train back on the rails. But we will be back here at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you for a Friday. More at UpNorthNewsWI.com.